He's got this sort of simple oval head, that Byronic chin.
Next, Sydney Padua draws in the big eyes on her computer screen, and then, only because it gives her a certain jaunty charm, adds a clay pipe.
You have to have this sort of 1940s hair.
We're now looking at Ada Lovelace, Victorian geek superhero. It's a steampunk world of levers, cogs, and algorithms. The fabulous but never built analytical engine, the 19th century prototype computer. Charles Babbage designed the hardware. Ada worked on the maths.
She wrote the first paper on computer science. And she was the first computer programmer.
Really?
This is a very controversial thing for me to say, but I think if you define a computer program as a thing that goes through every step and goes from beginning to end and would actually run on a machine, then yes, I think she is the first computer programmer.
But one part of her story really stands out, her childhood and the fear about her father, Byron.
She never met her father. And her mother was very worried that her daughter would grow up what they called poetical.
What do you mean?
I think it was a euphemism for mental illness.
And so Ada was brought up with a strict diet of maths and absolutely no poetry.
I think Lovelace thought that there could be a union between poetry and science, whereas to her mother they were plainly these opposite forces.
200 years on, the Ada experiment fascinates. Could a diet of maths dampen down the dangerous poetic side of the brain? Time for a journey to the Isle of Skye. The home to an expert on the hemispheres of the brain, the psychiatrist and writer Ian McGilchrist.
They are, of course, very different things. Whether they happen as far apart in the brain as people think, I would be rather doubtful. For one thing, there's a misconception that maths is a sort of left hemisphere thing, but it's actually a lot to do with seeing shapes and understanding structures. And there's something called the aha moment, you know, we've all experienced it, when the penny drops. That experience is very much the experience of both insight in art and insight in maths. There's no doubt that by encouraging a child to exercise certain faculties, they will develop those preferentially. And
are you changing it physically then?
You are actually changing it physically, yes. More in the sense that you're enriching pathways and making them more likely to be followed, but actually you can also change the size of certain structures.
And 200 years after Ada, he thinks we're changing brains across society. The more childhood is becoming an indoor, solitary, disembodied world of abstract skills. He told me of a meeting of teachers he'd attended.
This woman came to the microphone and said, I teach 5 to 7-year-olds, and my colleagues and I have found in the last 3 or 4 years that we actually have to start explaining how to read the human face, something we never had to do before. And there's evidence, for example, that children now are less empathic than they were 40 years ago. As a society, we are replicating more and more aspects of what one might call autism.
But let's end with Ada. And it might be fair to say she was perhaps slightly socially awkward. However, she was a great mathematical pioneer, and to Sydney and many others, a hero.
She can be hard to like, you know, she can be arrogant and moody and volatile and a bit crazy, but, you know, she was her own person and she loved math and she loved the computer.
If you're going to sum her up in a word.
Badass.